Yeah. are the supreme personality of Godhead, where Balaram is the first expansion, from whom other expansions come. And Lord Balaram helps Lord Krishna in so many ways. He had a mood of service, but he's always looking how he can help his older brother out. So he does things like appear at his bed and his sacred thread and other features which Lord Krishna may need for his service. Lord Balaram also appears as Lakshman in Ram Leela, and in that Leela he was Krishna's younger brother. And he also assisted him in many different ways when he went to the forest. Lakshman had one very outstanding, aside from the fact that he was a great warrior, dedicated servant, incarnation of the Supreme Lord. He was also really good at building things out of sticks. And so when they went to the forest, he would build the houses for Lord Ram and Sita to live in. And it was said that Balaram, he didn't sleep. He would just stay up all night and he would guard Lord Ram and he would guard Sita and he would sacrifice his own rest so that he could make sure that they were safe. So the same Leela is there. Now for our own spiritual progress, Balaram affords us a certain kind of support. Actually, Lord Balaram is a pillar. He is someone who perpetually provides strength, bala, and also provides, is very merciful. So Balaram means beauty and strength, the beauty of strength in devotional service. So Lord Balaram, he provides strength to the conditioned souls like us by appearing or becoming the source of the spiritual master. Lord Balaram, it's from him that the spiritual master comes. He's the original spiritual preceptor, and we see that is also in Nityananda Prabhu's role as he went around trying to save the fallen conditioned souls. He was very merciful, for instance, to Jagannath Mahaprabhu. We all know the story, I think. But Lord Balaram offers us a great shelter in the first. The first verse of the Antya Leela is a prayer by Krishna Kaviraj Goswami where he says, I am blind and my feet are slipping again and again. My path is very difficult and my feet are slipping again and again. Therefore, I'm begging the saints to grant me the stick of their mercy as my support. So when you think of that, I'm blind, lame, my path is difficult, my feet are slipping again and again. And what do I ask for? I ask for the Vaishnavas to give me the stick of their mercy as my support. So this is Lord Balaram. He's that stick of mercy, the support of the Vaishnava. And specifically, when he acts as the spiritual preceptor, that's the direct link, that he provides that connection to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that if you want to learn the truth, then you should approach a bona fide spiritual master, you should inquire submissively, you should render service. And the self-realized soul, because he's merciful, he'll impart knowledge unto you. So we cannot get to Krishna without the mercy of Lord Balaram. Just like we cannot get to Krishna without the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the mercy of the disciple succession. That disciple succession is a representative of Lord Balaram, and it's not possible to get to Krishna without the mercy of Lord Balaram. We see in Chaitanya Leela, the story of Raghunath Das Goswami, that he was trying very, very hard to get to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was a person from a very, very wealthy family. His parents, although devotees, his parents were devotees of Krishna, but still they wanted him at home. They didn't want him to renounce everything and just go to be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Raghunath Das really wanted to just go with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We had a similar situation before with our Giriraj Maharaj in our Vishnu society. Giriraj Maharaj was also from a very, very wealthy family. And just like that, Raghunath Das's parents, they tried to get him a beautiful wife, they tried to offer him a lot of money, they tried to bind him with ropes, material ropes, ropes of wealth, ropes of prestige, ropes of, you know, a beautiful woman, so many things. But Raghunath Das was determined, and he kept running away, and he kept being brought back. His father had men that would find him here and there. They would always bring him back to his parents' house. So finally, Raghunath Das Goswami went to Nityananda Prabhu. And it was because of the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu that he was given the permission, so to speak, to eventually connect with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But there was a block there. He couldn't get to Lord Chaitanya until he received the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So we have Adhiraj Maharaj, his parents offered him $1 million. You just leave the Hare Krishna movement, I'll give you $1 million. So Prabhupada was always very proud. He would say, when Adhiraj Maharaj was there, he would say, you know, this is my Adhiraj Maharaj. His parents offered him $1 million, but he refused it. So his parents, they came all the way to India, because it was hard enough for them in America when Adhiraj Maharaj became a devotee, disciple of Srila Prabhupada. But then when Prabhupada went to India and Giriraj Maharaj went to India, that made it even more difficult for them. He wasn't Maharaj then, he was Brahmachari. So his parents, they went to India also, and they went to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy, Giriraj Maharaj had great strength. So they went to him and they said, Prabhupada, whatever they called him at the time, I'm not sure. They said, you know, we want to give our Giriraj Maharaj a lot of money. But we needed to come back to America so he could sign the papers. So can we take him back with us? So Prabhupada turned to Giriraj Maharaj and he said, do you want to go with your parents? And Giriraj Maharaj said, no, Prabhupada, I want to stay with you. So then he said to them, what can I do? You want me to force him against his will? You want us to stay here with me? So then this conversation kind of went on with his mother and his father, and then Prabhupada said, listen, all you have to do is send us the papers. And then we'll just have him sign and we'll mail him back. No difficulty. We can give him money, whatever money you like. So then the mother, she began to cry. And Prabhupada could see, you know, he was very expert at dealing. So he said, you know, what is the problem? She said, because I'm so worried now he's in India, then he'll get sick. It'll be very difficult for him. Prabhupada said, no, I'll keep him with me. He can travel with me everywhere. I'll make sure that he gets the best of care, and he'll be fine. And not only that, but when I go back to America, I'll take him with me back to America. So you don't have to worry, he won't stay for so long. He'll be with me for a short amount of time, and then he'll come to America. So then he brought some sandesh to the mother. And then she took it and she liked it. He said, you see, if he stays with me every day, he'll have 10 of these. And then he'll always be very healthy. You don't have to worry that he'll feel any sickness. So Prabhupada, by Prabhupada's mercy, Giriraj Maharaj was able to escape the confines of wealth and family attachment, and also Raghunath Das, by Nityananda's mercy, was able to escape similarly. So we can see by this example that in order to really advance in spiritual life, we have to accept the mercy of Balaram. We have to accept the spiritual master as our life and soul, as our guide. We have to take shelter of him, guidance from him, protection from him, because the spiritual master gives us strength. So if we look at Srila Prabhupada, and we see where our connection comes with the spiritual master. The connection with the spiritual master is not just some sentimental thing. But I look at his picture, I remember there was one girl when we were in Lake Huntington, it was like 1982 or 3 or something, and there was one Bhaktin. She was a very eccentric young lady, and she used to carry a picture of her spiritual master around underneath her arm all the time, an 8x10 picture always under her arm. So I mentioned to her spiritual master, oh, you know, Bhakti Barbara, she's always carrying your picture around. And he said, oh, great, this is where I always wanted to be, in Bhakti Barbara's armpit. So our relationship with the spiritual master is not just some sentimental thing that we have some picture we carry around in our armpit, or we make some show of love and devotion, you know, some big fancy. I was told that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, someone would come to him and they would say, you know, Gurudev, I want to be your servant, I want to, you know, serve you. And he would ask them, so are you a devotee of Krishna? And if they said yes, he would say, I'm sorry, but I'm very busy right now. I don't have time to speak with you. But if they said, I'm actually just the servant of the servants, or I'm a servant of so-and-so, or so-and-so is helping me in Krishna consciousness, then he would say, oh, I have time, you can come speak with me. So he was looking to see that mentality, dasa, 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 that is our connection with the spiritual master. Our connection with the spiritual master is a connection in service. It's not the Prabhupada and his offering to his spiritual master, Vyasa Puja. He said that, you know, it's not just a matter of offering fruits and flowers. We come sometimes to Guru Puja and we offer some flowers, maybe we offer some fruit. But it's really not a matter of just offering fruits and flowers. It's a matter of offering our heart, our service, our willingness to do the bidding of the spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada, he said, Yari Veke Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh. This is my order to you. It's Lord Chaitanya's order to us. Prabhupada's order to us, that just go everywhere and try to tell someone about Krishna. Just now we had a nice experience. I was saying we should go around the second time. Because it's so nice to go outside and see everybody smiling, and somebody was dancing with us a little bit, and people waving and people smiling. To hear, they don't know who we are, and carry this little white figure, you know, and everybody's looking at that. You know, they're seeing us, and we may look a little different. But still they can sense, they can feel the potency of the Holy Name. They can feel Lord Vishananda, Lord Balaram's mercy, because they can, they don't come in contact with people who are happy, people who are connected to Krishna. It's a certain kind of shakti. And when they come in contact with that shakti, it's just like, it's electrifying. Even if they want to be miserable, they can't be miserable too long, you know, but their foot is tapping, you know. Their hands are clapping, and they're going like this, you know. So they're trying to be unhappy. They're trying to go about their miserable, materialistic life, worrying about whatever it is that they're worrying about, being in anxiety, whatever they're being in anxiety about. You know, it's something. There's something there. Their rent isn't, their anxiety about their mortgage or their kids or their wife or their business or their something. There's always something. But still, they hear that holy name. They come in contact with the devotees. And there's immediately they're uplifted. They're layers of material stuff get peeled away. So Prabhupada wanted us all to go somewhere and give the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu used to take great risks. He would go out day and night and he would preach Lord Chaitanya's mercy in the streets, and that's our tradition. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta is described that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was on Sankirtan, Harinam, Sankirtan, Navadvip. And there's one place in the middle of Navadvip, I don't know if you're familiar, but there's a big banyan tree. And that banyan tree has made like a shopping center. Remember I told you, I don't know how many of you were here the first time I spoke, but I described that what a banyan tree is, that the branches send down roots, and the roots hit the ground. So, and then it makes another tree, and then they send down branches, and it makes another tree. So there's many arches. So in this one place in the center of Navadvip, they clean out these arches, and then they make little shops in all the places where the branches hit the ground. And so there's this huge banyan tree, has a temple in the middle of Durga, and then there's these everywhere shops. So there's a very narrow path that goes around the outside of that banyan tree. And it's described that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was on Harinam Sankirtan through Navadvip, and all his people were with him. He had many, many crowds of people, but the street was very narrow, you know. So when they came by this narrow place, there were some people, and they were throwing things on the Sankirtan party because they felt that, you know, Navadvip was a center of learning, and this chanting and dancing program was not fitting for the scholarly Brahmin class of, you know, study. People should study Vedanta and become area guide scholars. And what is this, all this chanting stuff, this, you know, chanting, dancing stuff. So they were dropping things in this very narrow place, and all the devotees had to file through there. So they came to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, and they told him, you know, they're doing this, what should we do? And Bhakti Siddhanta said, I bless them that in their next life they will become human. So Bhakti Siddhanta, he manifested that mercy of Lord Nityananda, and certainly Srila Prabhupada manifested that mercy of Lord Nityananda, because he also came even further than the Banindri and Abhidri to a place where there were even less human people, where he came to America. And he gave Krishna consciousness, of course, to the most degraded. He could have chosen to stay uptown in yoga, you know, the Yoga Mitra's yoga studio. He could have preached to the old rich folk. And, you know, he was very scholarly. He could have taught them Sanskrit and chanted mantras with them. And they would have been very happy to give him nice donations. And he could have been very comfortably situated up there, just like Mitra was very comfortably situated up there, giving a fancy office-type ashram place and an apartment to live in. But that wasn't Srila Prabhupada's mission. So Srila Prabhupada left that place in uptown New York, and he went downtown to the Lower East Side. The Lower East Side was a very different place. When we used to go to a place that was called the Purple Onion, and it was a... how do you describe the Purple Onion? Anyway, it was what we called a head shop. And it was a place where intoxicated people would go, and they would sit around at the cafe, and they would discuss this and that, and it was very dim light, so it had what's called a black light. I saw the first one I ever saw on the altar in Slovenia. They have one on the altar in Slovenia. And what it does is it makes white light kind of glow purple. So the whole place was kind of glowing purple, and there were flashing lights all over the place. And that's where we would hang out, and right next to it, right down the block from it, there was another place where the people were discussing higher philosophy, a little bit straighter perhaps, and it became known that there was a Swami in the area and that he was giving Krishna consciousness. And these people, although they were not very well off materially, they were kind of sick of the material world. They were very frustrated with the material world. And so they came in contact with Srila Prabhupada. They came to his place, they heard his classes, they chanted the Hare Krishna mantra. And very shortly after that, Prabhupada took them out. We went to the park and started chanting Hare Krishna for everybody to see. It was quite a stretch in some ways. Prabhupada would cook for the devotees. He would provide them. He was so merciful. He would wait on line for the bathroom. And he would clean up after everybody finished eating. He would take care of the dishes. And he would take care of the cooking. He would go and do the grocery shopping. Sometimes he would go to the local coffee house. And when it was time to eat prasadam, he would go and get Brahmananda and Gargamuni and say, come on, it's time to eat prasadam. He would get them out of the coffee shop. So, and then when he went to San Francisco, also it was very, even more degraded, actually, than New York. New York was high class compared to San Francisco. San Francisco was very, very degraded people, much more into intoxication. San Francisco had one thing New York didn't have, and that was good weather. It was much, much warmer there. So people could live on the street. They could live in Golden Gate Park. And they didn't even have to really find, you know, any decent place to sleep, and they could stay there almost all the time. So many young people were leaving their homes from all over the United States, and they were congregating there in Golden Gate Park. And Srila Prabhupada went there, and Mukunda had gone before, and he started the temple. And then when Mukunda was asked by Malati and Shyam Sundar, what's a temple? Prabhupada said, Mukunda said, you find a storefront and you paint it white. That's what a temple is. So he started a temple in San Francisco. He found a storefront, he painted it white. Prabhupada heard there was a temple, so he went there. And Prabhupada saw how degraded everyone was. It was a very sad situation. But Srila Prabhupada was very merciful. Actually, it's described that Srila Prabhupada was sitting under the asasan singing Hare Krishna, and one girl in the audience, this happened many, many times with many different people, but one girl in the audience, she was having some bad drug experience, and she was screaming and yelling and writhing around, and Prabhupada, like, just to the person next to him, not out loud so everybody could hear, but just quietly, he said, just see how degraded they have become. So what Nityananda said, Jagai Madhai, and Srila Prabhupada said many Jagais and Madhais. And he continues to do that by us. So as long as we're connected, we have the strength, we get the strength from Balaram, and we also get the mercy from Nityananda Prabhu and Srila Prabhupada. And then with that strength and with that mercy, we can distribute Krishna consciousness everywhere. And sometimes the spiritual master appears in very different forms that we don't really expect, right? In Bhagavatam, we hear that Chintamani, the prostitute, she was the spiritual master of Dilbamangal Thakur. Dilbamangal Thakur might know the story that he was very attracted to females. He had a lot of problems with women. And although he had become married and everything, he became attracted to a prostitute, and that prostitute's name was Chintamani. And when his father passed away, he went to the funeral, but all the time he was at the funeral, he was thinking, when can I see Chintamani? When can I see Chintamani? When can I see Chintamani? And so finally, as soon as the funeral finished, he went to see Chintamani. It was raining very, very hard outside. And he went through the rain, and he was, you know, running without proper attire, and he was soaking wet. And then he came to a river, and the river was swollen because the rain was so hard, but he had to cross the river to see Chintamani. So he grabbed what he thought was a log, but it turned out to be a dead body. And carrying that dead body, holding on to that dead body, he was able to cross the river. And then he got to Chintamani's house, and then he had to scale a wall, and he didn't know how to get over. He was looking for a vine or a rope or something, and he found, finally, in the rain, he found a rope, and he climbed up to the top, only to find out that actually it was a snake. He had used the snake to scale the wall. And so finally he came in, and he was a wet, messy, smelly, muddy mess, all scraped up, and he stunk from the body and everything. And he banged on the door, and Chintamani came to the door, "Who is it?" And he said, "Dilbamangala, I've come to see you, Chintamani. I can't live without you." And she said, "Are you crazy? You came here through so in the rain and everything just to see me?" She said, "If you had as much love for Krishna as you had for me, then you would attain pure devotional service. You should just go to Vrindavan and develop love for Krishna." So Dilbamangal was shocked that he received this spiritual guidance from a prostitute. And yet he took it very seriously. And it said that actually Somagiri, who was the spiritual master previously, had spoken to him through Chintamani, had received that instruction. We also see that Indra received spiritual instruction from a very strange place, from Vrishasura. Vrishasura was a big, huge demon, right? He had a horrible form. Previously he had been Chittakesu. But then he took the form of a demon. And, you know, one would think, well, here's Indra, the king of the demigods, and here's this big demon, and who's going to be the guru? But it wasn't Indra. It was Vrishasura who was the guru. It was he who gave spiritual instruction. And it was ultimately he who went back to Godhead at the moment of death. And he knew that. He said, "You kill me, it's not a problem. Don't worry about it. Just take my life. Don't have second thoughts." Because he was acting so purely that in the end there, Indra was getting a little nervous, like, "I'm going to kill this person, but he's actually a Vaishnava." But Vrishasura convinced him, no, please kill me, because this is the way I'll be liberated from this body and I'll be able to go back to God, and it's Krishna's will that I leave my body at your hand. So Indra killed him. And then afterwards he lamented, "Oh, what have I done? I killed such a great devotee." So Vrishasura also was a spiritual master. And Dhruva Maharaj, who was Dhruva Maharaj's spiritual master? Dhruva Maharaj's spiritual master was his mother. And she was a very simple woman, and not even the favorite of the king. The king had two wives, but one of them was his favorite wife, and the other was unfavorable. She was not looked upon very nicely. And she lived in a small cabin in the woods. And when Dhruva Maharaj was insulted by his father, he went to his mother and he said, "What can I do? I'm so angry, and I want a kingdom so that I can get even with my father. I want a kingdom better than my grandfather." And that was no small thing. His grandfather was So he went, his mother said, "Well, the only person I know that can help you is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So she became his spiritual master, just with that simple instruction. And when Dhruva achieved spiritual perfection, he refused to go back to Godhead. When the airplane came, to pick him up. He said, no, I'm not going unless my mother is going. My mother doesn't go, then I'm not going to go. But he saw that his mother was also being picked up by a celestial plane. So then he went back to the spiritual world. So the spiritual master or spiritual instruction may come to us in many different ways. There's a story about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that there was one man who was always finding fault with him and complaining about him and blaspheming him. You know, it's a good thing they didn't have internet in those days. Otherwise, you could imagine he would be spamming everybody with bad email about Bhaktisiddhanta saying, you know, how he was this and how he was that. But there was no email. He was just doing it by mouth. And his disciples, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples, were furiously angry. They wanted to do something to retaliate with this person. But Bhaktisiddhanta told them, no, no, please, don't do anything. Just leave it be. It's okay. And so they let it go on, and it went on and on, and finally the man died. And they were so relieved. They went to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and they told him, finally, this blasphemer has left the planet. And Bhaktisiddhanta began to cry. And they couldn't understand, why are you crying? So they asked, why are you crying, Guru Maharaj? This man has insulted you so many times for so long, we've been tolerating this. And now he's finally gone. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, because Krishna sent him to point out my faults so that I could understand how to make spiritual advancement. And now he's left, who will give me that guidance? So Bhaktisiddhanta saw this man as a spiritual master. That even though he was a blasphemous person, one would think, oh, he wasn't a very nice person, but still, Bhaktisiddhanta saw him as someone who was sent by Krishna to give him spiritual advance, his spiritual advice. So the spiritual master sends us lessons in many different ways. He works in many different ways. This is the mercy of the guru, or the mercy of Balaram, that we have to become... We have to understand that eventually this is our position. Prabhupada wanted this to be our position, that we have to become spiritual masters. This is what Lord Chaitanya wanted of us. Some of us will become spiritual masters in the diksha sense of the word. Eventually, we'll have to be. Otherwise, what will happen? Our movement has to keep going. So that means that someone in this room or some people of this generation will have to take on the responsibility of guru. In the very literal sense of the word, right? They have to. I mean, we're not eternal, right? So, you know, my generation, my god brothers, they're going to leave the planet, and then what will come next? It will be your responsibility. So Prabhupada wanted us to take the responsibility. In 1970, I was in Srila Prabhupada's quarters in Los Angeles. I was pregnant with my son, and it was in May, he was born in July. So I was quite pregnant, he was born July 7th. So I was quite pregnant, and I was sitting there. And what had happened is we had opened a temple in Toronto, and Toronto had a unique group of devotees because many of the boys that were in the Toronto temple were draft archers, and they couldn't go back into the United States. They had left the United States to avoid the war, and they couldn't go back into the United States. If they went back in, they would have gotten arrested. So they couldn't go back into the United States. So we were carrying the initiation letter of one such person. His name was Dhammaraj, King Dhammaraj. And we presented Srila Prabhupada with this letter, you know, asking for the initiation of Dhammaraj. But Dhammaraj could not come to where Prabhupada was in order to get initiated. So Prabhupada told Jagadish, well, you should perform the initiation ceremony. He said, do you know how? And he said, no, Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada instructed someone to give him instructions how to do the fire yoga and how to perform the initiation on Prabhupada's behalf. And what he said was, he said, just like your wife used to be a young girl and she was immature. He said, but now she has become mature and she is having children of her own. He said, in the same way, someday you will become mature and you will also have children of your own. So it's very important for you to learn how to do this initiation ceremony. So at that time, 1970, Srila Prabhupada was already understanding that at some point we would have to take the responsibility of leading people in spiritual life. We have to. Because perpetually this movement has to go on for 10,000 years. And none of us is going to live to be 10,000 years old. So obviously we're going to have to pass down that responsibility. It's going to have to go on. So we may try to avoid it. We may try to make ourselves comfortable in spiritual life, and we may say I'm too fallen and I can't do it, and we may, you know, try to become a little reclusive and just attend to our own business. But ultimately, if we really want to help the spiritual master, then we have to beg Lord Balaram for his mercy. We have to tell Vaishnavas, please grant me the stick of your mercy as my support, so that I can carry the weight. Because none of us can carry it alone. It's not that Prabhupada never saw himself alone. He would always say that he was with his spiritual master. Matter of fact, he never even referred to himself as I. He would never use the first person. He would always use the third person. He would refer to it as we. We went to the store. We did this. We came on the Dalabhusa. We went to San Francisco. We opened a temple in New York. We founded ISKCON. Who's we? It's me and my spiritual master, who was never, for even one moment, away from me. He was always by my side. So that was Srila Prabhupada's vision, that he always saw his spiritual master as with him, and he always saw that whatever he could do was coming from the power of his spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada told us in the Srimad Bhagavatam that this responsibility is a very big responsibility, and you may think, well, I'm never going to take the responsibility. I'm not going to lead anyone. I'm just a simple devotee. I'm just going to do my own thing. I don't have to take leadership. But the Srimad Bhagavatam says something else. It says, don't become a mother, don't become a father, don't become a teacher, don't become a spiritual master, unless you can offer your dependents the opportunity not to take birth again. They said, you should raise your dependent in such a way that he will never have to again enter the womb of a mother. So, if you're not going to be a spiritual master, then how many of your parents? How many of you have already become a mother, or a father, or a teacher? So, we can't avoid it, right? Because the Bhagavatam says, don't become a mother, don't become a father, don't become a teacher, don't become a spiritual master, unless you can help, can lead your dependent back to Godhead, so that they'll never have to take birth again in the womb of the mother. And we're already there, we already did it. Right? I'm already a father, I'm already a mother, I'm already a teacher. So how can we avoid it? We can't get away from it. We have to beg the mercy of Lord Balaram so that we can have the power, so we can have the spiritual strength, the bala, so that we can deliver our dependence from repeated birth and death. It's a huge responsibility. We can't take it lightly. We have to be qualified. And what do we do to get that qualification? We have to connect deeply with our spiritual master. And then we have to learn the lessons, because we can't fake the qualification. The qualification isn't that we become perfect. The qualification isn't that we memorize all the shastras. So many times we meet people who have read the scriptures since they were very, very young, right? And they say, oh, no, I'm already knowing that. I have studied Bhagavad Gita, I know this verse, I know that verse. My favorite verse in Bhagavad Gita is when Krishna says, now I've told you everything, now do what you want to do. I'm doing the best, doing whatever I want to do. So, but this is not how we get the strength, because you see with Kovacs Shridhar, you see with the Brahmin who was reading the Bhagavad Gita upside down even though he couldn't read. You see even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm such a fool. My spiritual master told me, just chant Hare Krishna, because you can't learn all this scholarly stuff. Just concentrate on chanting the holy name. So it's not Prabhupada certainly wanted us to read, and Prabhupada certainly wanted us to learn. But that's not the qualification. The qualification is Yasya Prasada, Bhagava Prasada, Yasya Prasada, Nagati Kritoti, Dhyam Suvam Satyaya Sastri Sanjay, Mane Roshi Chaganavaranta. That without the mercy of the spiritual master, no one can make any advancement. So we have to hang on to the merciful lotus feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, of Srila Prabhupada, of our spiritual master, of the disciplined succession. It's a long, long line. One very senior devotee once described to me that when you take initiation in the disciplined succession, anywhere in the disciplined succession, you connect as if, like, when you go out and you buy a Nokia product. So you buy a Nokia product because Nokia is a famous company. It's a good company, right? It's a famous company who has a good reputation, right? So therefore, I buy it. And if my product doesn't work, then I can go to the company, and the company will say, don't worry, I'll give you another one, or whatever. You're connected to that company that has the strength to support you. So in the same way, we link up with the discipline of succession. If something happens, we're still linked to the discipline of succession. And as long as we keep our link to the discipline of succession by sincere service and submissive inquiry, then no problem. The discipline of succession will offer us shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. And we can connect to Lord Balaram, the source of spiritual strength. I want to take a few minutes and I want to read something to you, if you find it here. This is the mission statement of one of my god brothers who's no longer with us. Perhaps you know him. His name is Sridhar Maharaj. He left the planet recently. So Sridhar Maharaj was very dear to me. He was a very close friend of mine. And he wrote a mission statement for himself. He said that he learned that when you come in contact with the spiritual master, you have to discipline yourself. According to the order of your spiritual master, you have to structure your life, and you have to discipline yourself. And by forming a mission statement for yourself and following that mission statement, you become empowered. You become connected or surrounded by the order of the spiritual master, and it gives you strength. So I thought I'd take a minute and end my class by reading to you Sridhar Swami's mission statement for himself. It's pretty powerful. He says, my mission is to serve my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, with all my heart and soul. To achieve this goal has now become my only reason for living. Out of a great sense of debt for His having shown me the path, I want to become a sharp instrument to be used by Srila Prabhupada in His mission of flooding the world with love of Krishna. I will strive to achieve excellence in all my activities. I will struggle to rise above my lower animal nature, my conditioning of the lowest of births, and my lack of cultural training. I will study Srila Prabhupada's books regularly and thoroughly. I will do my best to follow his teachings perfectly and teach others with whom I come in contact according to my own level of realization. I will be forever loyal to his ISKCON, being always positive and ready to help in its development. I will be proactive as a preacher, teacher, facilitator, leader, and spiritual master, servant. I will always be ready to, as Srila Prabhupada put it, do the needful. I will meditate upon and try to imbibe the 26 qualities of a pure devotee. I will not over-endeavor, but will strive for quality in my work and relationships. I will be constantly on guard against committing offenses to other Vaishnavas. Having realized that in previous years of association with devotees, I must have committed so many offenses due to my gross and careless nature, I will sincerely try to recognize those offenses, beg forgiveness from those whom I have offended, and atone for those offenses as best I can. I will continually evaluate my progress, getting input from other devotees. Despite all obstacles, personal and incidental, I will not cease from struggling to improve my character and obtain his mercy to be finally accepted by Srila Prabhupada as his humble servant. So that was Sridhar Maharaj's mission statement in life. And it's a very powerful mission statement. And with the mercy of the spiritual master, if we connect with that mercy, if our mission statement is his mission, then we will get the strength of Lord Balaram. And by the stick of their mercy, or the stick of his mercy as our support, we'll be able to obtain pure devotional service in this life. So thank you very much. I'll end there. And if there's any questions, I'll try to answer. Thank you very much. shall die, he
dies.
So, how can I serve you? Anybody have any questions?
When for the shower?
That's the question. Yes.
Should the Prabhupada say he waited a long time before he took dictionary?
11 years.
So how come that he waited so long for, seemed like he waited for the couldn't he have just, you know, chosen anyone in the, like, in the line of Chidambaram?
He could have. He met Shrimati Siddhanta actually kind of, I mean, nothing happened by accident, certainly in that case, because it says in the Shastra, Guru Krishna deciding by Bhakti like the beach, that, you know, by the mercy of Krishna one gets Guru, by the mercy of Guru one gets Krishna. And so it's not an accident. But actually, when Srila Prabhupada was invited to go see Bhakti Siddhanta, he didn't want to go. He said he didn't want to go because he had seen his father would always invite these sadhus over his house. And he didn't like any of them. He didn't feel that they were really sincere. And so he had a bad taste in his mouth from what these people were like. So when someone said, well, listen, there's a really nice sadhu, and we'd like you to see him. Prabhupada mentioned, and he talked about it on a couple of talks on Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day. And he said that actually, even amongst his friends, when he was in college, he was kind of a leader. And so they would never do anything unless he approved of it. So they were all into Gandhi at the time. And then these boys that were friends of his, they met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. So they wanted a bhai to approve of him, because they wouldn't keep going to him if they didn't get a bhai's approval. So they begged him, please come. And Abhai said, no, I don't want to go. I know these sadhus. I'm sick and tired of them. But they begged him to come. So he went. And at first, his position was argumentative. He argued with Bhakti Siddhanta, you know, well, wait a minute, we have to get independent. Well, how can we preach Lord Chaitanya's mission? But Bhakti Siddhanta was able to answer all his questions, and he was very strong. So when Prabhupada left Bhakti Siddhanta's room, he told the friend who had brought him, he said, I think the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in very good hands. And Prabhupada said that actually from that moment he had actually taken initiation. That from that moment actually he had accepted Bhakti Siddhanta as his spiritual master. But because he was a householder and he had a lot of financial responsibilities and he was living quite far away, his life kind of took him far away. And then he came in contact with devotees gradually in different ways. And finally he came to see his spiritual master again. And then he took initiation. But it was kind of circumstantial, you know, the way his life unfolded that finally he came back to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's personal association. But he said from the time he met him, he immediately knew that was his spiritual master.
Because I know that sometimes the devotees say that we all have such an important group.
I think it's important when you choose. It's important when you choose as a spiritual master. It should never be said it's not important. It may not be the most important thing as long as it's somebody in the discipline succession. I mean, it has to be someone in the discipline succession. So you're connected with Srila Prabhupada, you're connected with the discipline succession. That's certainly very important, most important. But for you, it's a very important thing who you accept as a spiritual master. Because that person, you have to have faith in that person. That person has to enlighten you in spiritual life.
Because otherwise, how can, even if it's not important, yeah, like you say, yeah, okay, I understand. It's important for me because I have to be, I have to, you know, put all faith.
That's right. You have to put faith.
Yeah.
And so for you to develop that shraddha, that initial faith, before that faith becomes strong in Krishna, it has to be reposed in the spiritual master. And we see even in our own movement, when that faith is damaged, it's very, very difficult to repair it. I mean, it's not impossible in many his boys have done it and come out stronger for it. But that faith is a very precious thing, and depending how strong it is, if it's damaged, it's like a tree, we plant a tree, if it gets damaged at the beginning when it's very young, then the tree may die. When the tree is a little stronger, it may be able to withstand a wind or a hurricane. When it grows really big, then it can withstand a lot. But depending when the storm comes, we may suffer greatly if our faith is weak. And if our faith is damaged, it may be very hard to repair it. So we should be very careful where we repose our faith. But that requires not just a personality. There's something to be said about a personality, but there's more to be said about transcendental knowledge. You can't find a guru if you don't know what a guru is. So it's your responsibility, it's your responsibility to know what a guru is, which means you have to study Prabhupada's books. You have to understand what you're looking for. Srila Prabhupada always used to say, if you go into a grocery store and you ask for gold, then immediately the grocer will know that you don't have a clue what gold is, because if you did, you wouldn't be in a grocery store asking for it, and so you're going to get cheated. So therefore, you have to know what you want. You have to know what you're looking for. So many people, like, you know, I used to teach teenage girls all the time, okay? So we would sit and we would discuss, you know, what are you looking for in a husband? Because teenage girls, that's all they think about. They don't think of gurus so much as they think of husband. So we would sit around and we would say, well, what would you look for in a person who you want to have a relationship with? And they would list all these very nice qualities. But in reality, they would look for someone who lives in a nice kirtan, plays a good mridanga, he has to be good looking, you know, he should have muscles, he should have blue eyes, blonde, whatever, you know. So very superficial things, and all the lofty ideals, they go out the window as soon as they saw some person who could, you know, really cook it up at kirtan. So we don't want to be like that. We don't want to sell our heart just because, you know, someone's flashy and walk around with a picture underneath their arm. That's not the guru-disciple relationship. The guru-disciple relationship is based on an exchange, a transfer of spiritual knowledge. So you have to have enough knowledge to know what you're looking for before you can find it. So that's your responsibility, is to get yourself educated, to develop a connection with Krishna, with Prabhupada, with the books, and then find a bona fide, you know, a spiritual master who resonates, you know what I mean, who inspires you.
The lesson of knowledge is, of course, that the knowledge from the scriptures, but then it also has to be like transferred from one person to another.
Well, I mean, for some of you,
realized by the person, otherwise, there is a message.
Yes, it has to be realized, but there are different levels of realization, and you can have initial realization from reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and then your realization can be deepened by meeting a spiritual master, inquiring from him, but you won't know what your questions are if you haven't pondered spiritual life. You have to ask the right questions. Perfect questions get perfect answers. That's what you need to find out. Start with what is the goal of human life. Read, and then you'll have questions. As you read, you'll have questions, right? There's one book, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. You can read that book. You get the questions and the answers. But also, as you read the Shastra, like as you study Bhagavad Gita, then questions will come. As you go through your life, trying to apply Bhagavad Gita, questions will come. What should I do? How should I apply this in my life? And those questions you should take to the senior Bhajan. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Yes?
I can give an example about that. I'm a disciple of Srila Prabhupada.
I know that.
And in the beginning, I never realized who or what Srila Prabhupada was. But I was attracted to him like a magnet. A person who you could believe in without any doubt at all. And only now in my later ages am I beginning to realize
I have the same exact experience
of my spiritual master. So if I can give that as an example, if you are attracted to somebody who you have no doubt in at all, and who you can serve without any problem at all. That is the person you should serve.
Mm. I have the same experience. So many people ask me to tell Prabhupada's story, but when I was 19 years old when I met Srila Prabhupada, and although, you know, he was wonderful and I was attracted to him like anything, I had so much more understanding of what he did now than I did then. I had no clue, you know, really no clue what he was doing. What his vision was. His vision was so expansive. That I know my vision was microscopic. Okay, so we'll end here if you can take your shot. Thank you very much. All glories to Lord Balaram. All glories to your service to Krishna. Hare Krishna.